Happy Pentecost once again to you, and you might see some splashes of red throughout the congregation. We wear red on Pentecost to remind us of those tongues of that look like fire, it says in the New Testament, as well as the passion and the love that is represented by Pentecost. And that's a little bit what we want to talk about this morning. So we're taking a break from our study of the prophet Habakkuk, except not really, because what we're talking about today is perhaps one of the most important applications of studying a prophet like Habakkuk, or really any Old Testament prophet. And it's really our study of Habakkuk that inspired this Pentecost theme this year. For it is on Pentecost that we celebrate what's called the prophethood of all believers, which is my title for this Pentecost Sunday. And to introduce this idea to you, I want to talk about three things. First of all, what it is, and then what's the mission of this Pentecost prophethood, and then how do we attain it? So let's start with the big question that you might have, which is, what in the world is the prophethood of all believers? Here's my definition. The prophethood of all believers is the belief that everyone can be called and equipped by the Spirit to know, to feel, and to speak the heart of God. How many of you have heard of the priesthood of all believers? Yeah, it's a fairly well-known Christian doctrine and teaching in the church. And Old Testament priests, were, of course, were known for their access to the presence of God. But in the New Testament, inspired by the work of Christ, we learn that all of us, according to 1 Peter 2:9, are a royal priesthood and therefore can all have access to the presence of God. That's part of the good news of the gospel. And the priesthood of all believers is a life-changing teaching. The idea that every believer through Christ can have direct and unmediated access to the presence of God without the need of a human mediator because of the work of Christ, that is amazing news. But often overlooked in the New Testament is the equally important doctrine of the prophethood of all believers. And so to distinguish and explain these doctrines, I have this illustrative chart that I made that might help. But whereas the priesthood of all believers is about our stance or our status before God and relationship with Christ and our calling to be a holy priesthood, the prophethood of all believers is about our ability to know, feel, and act out the heart of God through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The priesthood of all believers gives us unmediated access to the presence of God, but the prophethood of all believers gives us unmediated access to the heart of God. Sometimes when we think of a prophet or prophecy, we think of, you know, maybe knowing or speaking forth the future. And there's some of that in the biblical prophets, meaning they speak forth hope of God's future reign through his kingdom to come. But for the most part, biblical prophets are not foretellers of biblical prophecy. And biblical prophecy does not predict the future world. Rather, biblical prophets are forthtellers. And biblical prophecy proclaims God's heart more to the present world. The prophets don't so much speak forward to the future as much as they speak forth into the present. What they speak, we'll get into here in a moment, but it is specifically at or in the event of Pentecost that we understand this calling and desire for all of God's people to be prophets who prophesy in the way that we're talking about. Because it is at Pentecost where we learn that everyone, regardless of age, status, gender, ethnicity, ability, everyone is called and equipped by the Spirit to know and to feel God's heart, and then to speak forth God's heart to our world. After the Spirit is poured out on the day of Pentecost, Peter says in Acts 2, 17 and 18, as was read earlier in the service, that this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all the special people and pastors and people who have it all together. That's what it says. No, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters might prophesy if they're good at it and outgoing and charismatic. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those last days, and they will prophesy. In the Old Testament, the office and role of the prophet was to speak the heart of God. And revelation, in that case, was reserved only for a select few, like Habakkuk, similar to the priesthood being for the select few. But after Jesus came, died, rose again, ascended into heaven, and sent the promised Spirit at Pentecost, the prophetic call now becomes available to all. And it is this prophethood of all believers that really sparks the birth and the mission of the church in Acts. So let's look at that. What is this mission then that we are all called to? If you've been saved and justified, meaning made right before God through Christ, shed blood on the cross, then you are a priest with full access to God's presence. But the question is, what are you going to do with this precious gift of access to God's presence? What's next? What now? What is our mission in the world? And I would argue it is this call to prophethood. Before the outpouring of the Spirit in Acts 2, the disciples already had access to God's presence, but they didn't really know yet what to do or what their mission was. We learned that they were getting together regularly for prayer, but they hadn't really done anything yet. They hadn't really made an impact on the world. Yeah, they received salvation, and they were priests before God, but now what? What causes the mission of the church to really take off in the first century? To where they were accused of turning the world upside down, it says in Acts 17:6, to where thousands were being added daily, people were being healed, the poor and marginalized were finding a place of belonging, possessions were being shared, women were finding a voice in a culture that didn't give them one. What caused the gospel to take off and transform society? It was the filling and fullness of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, and the understanding that they were now all prophets before God. Meaning called to speak forth the good news of God's kingdom in both their words and their actions. And in doing so, the early church then began to look like and do like Jesus did through their acts of love and justice. As prophets of God, our words and our actions are to speak forth a better way. A different way, the way of the kingdom, and ultimately to point to the new creation that is to come. Therefore, the mission of the prophet is to go out and to embrace the pain of this lost and broken world and speak the hope that God offers, just as they did in Acts. But here's the thing. They didn't do it as just a bunch of individuals. They did it together as and through the church. And that's what the book of Acts is all about. In his classic work about the mission of God in the world, Christopher Wright says that it is not so much the case that God has a mission for his church in the world as that God has a church for his mission in the world. Mission was not made for the church. The church was made for mission, God's mission. The prophethood of all believers is a corporate community doctrine, as demonstrated in Acts, where it says that they were all gathered together in one place when they received the last day's outpouring of the Spirit. And all the callings for mission and service in Acts from there on forward come in the context and in the nurturing of the local church. But from there, out of the local church, then they spread out to take the good news to various places. And that should be our pattern as well. Each week we gather together to seek God's presence, to seek God's heart together, to rejoice in the good news of being priests before God, and to remember our calling to be prophets to the world. And then we go out and we do what Jesus did and taught. That's why the sign above our doors here when you walk in, don't know if you ever noticed, when you come into the sanctuary, the doors says the church gathered when you walk in, saying this is the place where we gather. But when you walk out, the sign above that door right there says the church scattered, to remind us of our calling as we go out into the world. See, we gather to seek God's transformational presence here as the church, but it doesn't end there. Then we go out and we take that transformation out into the world around us. That is to be our weekly and regular rhythm and gathering. Did you know that right here on Vancouver Island, there are people who have never met, to their knowledge, a Christian? I know that because people tell me all the time, you're the only Christian that I've ever met. Now, that's likely not true, but it's not good that they think that that's true. There's a great mission field right around us in our daily life, right here in our area. There are so many people who have never heard the gospel explained to them in a meaningful way that makes sense from a person they know. They've never held a Bible in their hands. They have no idea what goes on here in a church. Again, how do I know that? How can I say that? Because people tell us that all the time when they come in here. It's why I love being a part of this church, because this is actually happening in real time every week when we gather, that people are telling us this. In fact, I can tell you, just in the last month, we've had a person come in here who had never been in a church in their whole entire life. They came up at the end of the service to receive prayer, and they took a Bible home with them. On our very first Saturday night service at the beginning of this month, there was a woman there who hadn't been in church since she was 7 years old. Another woman came who hadn't been at church in decades, and she said, man, church has really changed a lot in the last 20 years. Yeah. And this is being repeated over and over again. I could tell you so many stories just from this year. And you saw and heard already some of them this morning. Friends, the mission is there. The question is, are there enough missionaries with the prophetic anointing of the Holy Spirit to go out and to show people God's love? Which leads us to our last point. How do we attain this prophethood? Let me reemphasize that this mission and calling of prophethood according to Acts 2 is for everyone, and expected even of everyone. So if that's the case, why isn't everyone living the mission of prophethood? Well, the truth is, there is a cost. Just read the book of Acts. Those who received the outpouring of the Spirit began to give up their lives, their money and possessions, and dedicated themselves to God's mission in the world. And it led some of them to be killed, Some of them ended up in prison. Others shipwrecked on an island. At the very least, their comfortable and predictable lives were disrupted. There was conflict and disagreement among the believers as they tried to figure out how to be the church and how to best follow Jesus. It was a real church. It was messy and difficult and full of difficult people, but they stuck with it because the mission was worth it. The reason the prophethood of all believers is likely less known or less popular than the priesthood doctrine is because the priesthood is an amazing gospel truth, but doesn't really necessarily require a lot of action on our part. That's actually part of its power in good news, is it's all about what Jesus did and our standing before God, and that there's nothing we can do to gain access to God's presence. It's all about what Jesus did. But it's a bit more passive doctrine, although there is a call to holiness. But the prophethood requires a lot of us because we can't possibly receive God's heart without being completely transformed and it turning our lives upside down as we forsake all things for this treasure of knowing God's heart. The prophetic call is to weep over the condition of God's world, not set ourselves up comfortably within it. Remember at the beginning of Habakkuk in the first verse, we learned that the word prophecy means burden. It can be literally a heavy weight, and it's just referring to the emotional intensity of the prophetic call to know and even enter into the pain of God's heart. But man, there's nothing more beautiful or wonderful than knowing and feeling God's heart. And there is nothing better we could do this Pentecost Sunday than to make room to affirm that prophetic call on your life and release you into mission. And make no mistake, tied up with this mission is receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The music team is going to come. And so here's what I'm asking, and there's no pressure. It's just an open invitation, and you can respond however you feel the Spirit leading you to. But if you're saying today, I want to experience the fullness of God's Spirit, receive the prophethood made possible by the outpouring of the Spirit, then as we sing, just as a sign of that, I want you to come forward to pray as we start singing. And we'll have some prayer leaders who will just come around and lay hands on you, as is talked about in the book of Acts, just to ask for more of the outpouring of the Spirit upon you. Because we can't just expect these things to happen. We need to intentionally give opportunity and make time and space, just as they did in Acts chapter 2. And so we're just going to make time to call out. And it's okay if you're not feeling called to do that and just to be at your seat, but just to cry out, Lord, I want to know your aching heart for the world. I want to love how you love. I want to feel how you feel. I want to know what you know. I want to see what you see. I want to weep when you weep, Lord. Show me your heart. God, teach me to love like you do. What a transformation in our community if we all started praying that. If we all started to see the way God sees. So as you call out, I believe that the power of God will fall upon you. You may be weeping. You might fall to your knees. Who knows? You might speak in other tongues, as happened in Acts chapter 2. But we want to make time to receive this prophetic anointing from the Spirit. So would you stand with me as we respond? Let's open up our hearts to God. And if you want to come forward to be prayed for, there are people here who would love to pray in faith with you and for you. Let's make this Pentecost Sunday a defining moment in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit.